The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Given the overwhelming gravity of the climate emergency, we need to set aside our prejudices and preconceptions and do an honest, rigorous assessment of all available clean energy solutions. And yes, that includes nuclear. Now, these are the words of an environmental journalist, John Gibbons, arguing in the Business Post that Ireland needs to embrace nuclear energy in order to phase out fossil fuels. And we're joined now by the aforementioned John Gibbons, and also we'll be talking to a nuclear engineer, Norma O'Mahony. John, were you always pro-nuclear, or is this a Pauline conversion?
Good morning, Pat. No, definitely not. I think I would have come from the school that many people in Ireland were, and that is basically that nuclear is just too risky, it's too dangerous, etc. Obviously, I think we all grew up under the nuclear cloud of Chernobyl back in the 80s, and that would have affected my thinking on nuclear energy. And I guess, I'll be honest, I didn't think about it very much at the time, and I had just assumed that nuclear was, whatever the question, nuclear was the wrong answer. That was a kind of an easy assumption that I made. And really, I only came to reappraise that much more recently, maybe in the last 20 years, when I started doing the numbers on the climate emergency, and particularly on our energy consumption globally, where our energy comes from, where it has to come from in the future, and also this gargantuan challenge of decarbonizing the global energy system. It's a staggeringly huge system. At the moment, it remains heavily dependent on burning of fossil fuels, and there's a number of ways of decarbonizing that, and one of them is nuclear energy. So yeah. My view is that when you're in a hole, you've really got to look at all your options.
Now, you've done a deep dive into the fatalities associated with the generation of nuclear power, and the numbers are surprising.
They certainly are. We've heard all kinds of stories about the tens of thousands of people injured and killed as a result of, say, Chernobyl and Fukushima. In fact, Fukushima, I think it was 18,000 people died in the tsunami in Japan in 2011. The actual deaths attributable to radiation from the Fukushima power plant are either zero or one, depending on how you do your numbers. Now, over the last 40 years, Pat, probably in total 50 people have died as a result of a nuclear accident. So about 40 of those or so, maybe slightly over 40, are attributable to Chernobyl. And these, again, these are not my personal estimates. These are based on the UN have done what's called a macro analysis of this. And they looked at all the data, all the studies into Chernobyl over a 30-year period. And of course, we've had a full 30, 35 years post-Chernobyl to have a real sense of what happened there and what the consequences are. And I know there's been a lot of images claiming that there's this massive increase in birth defects and so on in the region. Now, the data simply doesn't support that. I appreciate some people have pushed that idea for many years, but it's simply not supported by the data. So on the one side of the ledger, you have, as I say, about 50 deaths from nuclear. Obviously, that's 50 more than you'd like to have. On the other side of the ledger, it's reckoned every year about 4 to 5 million people die as a direct result of the burning of fossil fuels. Now, that's part of leaving aside the climate destruction that we're sowing for ourselves. I'm talking about the direct.
You're just saying a simple comparison of death rates would work in favor of nuclear. The other arguments which are advanced by the anti-nuclear cohort would be uranium mining, not a particularly safe activity, and then ultimately the disposal of nuclear waste.
Sure. The nuclear waste thing, if I could start with that, if you take the household, a typical household, so, say in France, their lifetime nuclear power use for a household in France will generate around 2 kilograms of waste uranium. Now, of course, that's, again, 2 kilograms more than you'd like. But in Ireland, for example, the carbon emissions attributable to the average Irish person in 1 year is about 12 tons. So you're talking about how do you deal with 2 kilograms of waste uranium? It's a challenge, but it's an engineering challenge. Dealing with 12 tons of a dispersed, dangerous gas that stays in the atmosphere for centuries, that's not an engineering challenge. That's an impossibility. So I guess that's what I would say about the disposal or the management of nuclear waste. And of course, the other point about nuclear waste is if it's still highly radioactive, that means it's still got a whole bunch of energy in it. So reprocessing of nuclear waste means that you continue to burn that nuclear waste down until eventually it reaches a much lower level of danger because you're burning the energy out of it. So that's one of the steps.
Now, the question of uranium mining.
Yeah, of course. You could ask exactly the same question, obviously, about coal mining, about mining for lithium for batteries. You know, every, I suppose, as they say, you can't make an omelette without breaking eggs. Of course, every form of mining, you could say the same, Pat, about gold mining, right? All forms of mining have local environmental implications. In some cases, they're happening in parts of the world where human rights and so on are terrible. We want this to be done better. Everybody does. But we can't selectively say, well, I oppose uranium mining, but I'm absolutely fine with drilling for oil and digging up coal. Because we know, for example, every year, quite apart from the health implications, thousands of coal miners die in accidents all around the world. We don't hear about them in Ireland because, I suppose, they don't make the news here.
And now, the final argument would be, look, we're just about getting our wind industry up to speed. We're going to be generating more power from wind than we need. We used to think that solar was possible in our northerly location. It is, of course, with the latest generation of PV, photovoltaic. You can take a huge amount of energy out of daylight every day. Why would we go down the nuclear road just when these technologies are maturing and going to give us a surplus?
Absolutely. First of all, I'm a huge fan of renewable energy. Ireland has an opportunity over the next few decades, if we play our cards right, especially with offshore wind, to become a net energy exporter. However, we have to balance that with keeping the lights on. So if you design a perfect renewables-based grid, let's say you achieve all that, you overcome all the technical obstacles to having a huge amount of renewables on the grid, that will likely max out at about 80% of your power requirements. Now, the balance, the so-called base load, at the moment the plan is to back that up with gas. Now, gas is a fossil fuel, and we have to stop burning it. Now, what my proposition is a very simple one. Let's, of course, build out renewables as fast as we humanly possibly can manage, but in parallel with that, let's remove the other high carbon element of it, which is that baseload part. And roughly, Pat, in Ireland, you're talking about somewhere between 18 and 20%. We're never going to be able to get a 100% renewable grid. We need to.
No, but the argument, John, know the argument is that you use all your excess wind to break down water into oxygen and hydrogen. That's an energy input. Then you burn the hydrogen, which then, when it's burned, produces water, no carbon. That's the solution that they offer. Instead of going nuclear?
Sure. I mean, look, that, if that were doable and if that were 100% likely to happen, I would say, sure, let's go for it. Now, I should also separate this out, Pat, as well, that you can make arguments for and against building new nuclear. I understand that. But one argument I believe you cannot make is to decommission existing nuclear power plants for ideological reasons. And we saw this disastrously in Germany, where Angela Merkel, a physicist, shut down 17 perfectly safe operating nuclear power plants as a political stunt and, of course, increased Germany's dependence on Russian gas. Now, that's what I mean. That's where ideology overcomes logic and common sense. That was a terrible mistake. So if we can start with the assumption that we shouldn't shut down nuclear, and then after that, and I agree with you, if we could manage that hydrogen-backed up renewable system, I say fantastic. And I'm not necessarily saying that nuclear will come to Ireland. We will probably import. We're already importing roughly 1% of our electricity at the moment is coming via nuclear through the interconnectors. And when we interconnect, Pat, with France, that could rise to several percent. So I'm not hung up on having a nuclear power plant in Ireland, but what I am hung up on is that we come up with a safe, zero-carbon way of keeping the lights on.
Okay, John, that's very interesting. That proposal has been listened to by Norma O'Mahony, who's a nuclear engineer. Norma, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So how doable is it? How expensive would it be? And, you know, we've always been told that the typical nuclear reactor is far too big for the island of Ireland in terms of what it's capable of generating. So can we do it differently? Can we do it smaller? Can we do it appropriately? Can we do it safely?
Yeah, so you've picked up a couple of points there, as John has mentioned already. Safety, really, I think a lot of the assumptions that people have about the safety of nuclear power plants are based a lot on what they've seen in the media and news. And a lot of it is not factual, and it's based on a public perception and tying a lot of what nuclear power is to maybe its history in the nuclear weapons industry. And obviously, they have very little to do with each other. There are countries on a similar scale to Ireland, like, say, for instance, Finland, where they do go for those large nuclear technologies, where you have about, say, 1,500 megawatts going onto the grid from a single nuclear power plant. The main issue with that is, first of all, that you have a huge capital cost involved in building something like that, and they take quite a long time. Ideally, somewhere like Ireland would be looking for a smaller technology. So these days we are talking about the development of small modular reactors. So these are much smaller facilities, and they're actually largely assembled in a factory, so you don't have the same construction costs associated with them. So generally speaking, they're not as expensive and they don't take as long to build. But the other major advantage of that is that because we have a smaller grid, if you were to take 1500 megawatts off in one go, obviously you cause a lot of imbalance on there, where renewables and other sources of energy would have to kick in to make up the deficit. So if we were looking to have a sort of more flexible grid approach, it's quite likely that these small modular reactors would probably be a better option for us.
Now, what sort of power do they generate, and what do they cost compared to, say, an equivalent gas generator?
So that's a very difficult question to ask, because there's a few different factors at play there. First and foremost, there are several different designs of SMR, and they all have different kind of outputs, kind of going between sort of 50 megawatts and 250 megawatts typically. Some are even larger than that. Cost-wise, I guess when we compare it to a gas facility, there's not an awful lot we can say that really is comparable when we talk about what we would call the initial capital investment. So the initial capital investment for an SMR project is likely a lot bigger. I couldn't give you an exact figure on that because I don't have the comparisons in front of me. I think the thing you need to remember is what we would call the levelized cost. And that means taking into account the amount of electricity you would get, but also the lifetime of a facility. Because a typical nuclear facility currently, all of the designs have what we call a design lifetime of 60 years. So that means for your initial capital investment, you're getting whatever power output you have for that 60 years. And current experience has shown us that even when you take into account the design lifetime, you're probably going to get an extra 10 or 20 years out of that. So I think when you take into account that levelized cost, there is a financial advantage over gas, for example.
Okay, so it is doable, it's affordable if we take the long view, and then safety. I remember talking before about molten salt reactors, which just shut themselves down if anything goes wrong and no human intervention is needed. What about these small modular reactors?
Yeah, so they are an evolution on some of the currently operating designs. And to start with, the currently operating designs are safe. They have a lot of redundant safety features. So that means, for instance, if you take into account shutting down a reactor, there will usually be more than one way of doing that on any modern reactor. However, a lot of these SMRs, they are sort of evolutionary in their design, wherein a lot of them have what we would call passive safety features. And that just means that you have no human intervention to bring them into a safe state. And that molten salt is a very good example where it shuts itself down. So most SMR designs will have some sort of passive safety feature where without human intervention, they can bring themselves into a safe state.
So should we do it then?
It's an interesting question. It's, I think, one for maybe the public and the government to decide, because essentially it is going to be a huge capital investment and it requires a lot of work on our part. First of all, legislatively, there is currently a prohibition on nuclear power in Ireland, so we would need to introduce legislation to begin with to do that. Yeah. We'd also need to set up a regulatory body capable of dealing with that. But the honest answer is, if there were a quick and cheap solution to climate change, somebody would have done it already. And we know that this is a proven technology, whereas when we talk about something about, for instance, hydrogen you mentioned there, we have less experience with that and we don't actually know how well it would work. Whereas we have a lot of experience with nuclear, which is a fairly good endorsement.
Norma O'Mahony, nuclear engineer, thank you very much for joining us. And before that, John Gibbons, environmental journalist, also proposing nuclear as a solution to climate change.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.